This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and it's official. Attorney General Maura Healey announced this morning she is throwing her hat in the ring for governor of Massachusetts. Healey has the trappings of a favorite at this stage, strong campaign coffers, higher name recognition than her major opponents. So far, she's the only candidate in the running who already has won a statewide race, but the road from the attorney general's office to the governorship has not been an easy one historically. Three Massachusetts attorneys general got the nomination in the last 24 years and lost. In fact, the last AG to be governor, Paul Deaver in 1948, who lost his first bid for the office. Can Maura Healey buck the trend? Well, in just a few minutes, we will speak with former Massachusetts Attorney General and gubernatorial candidate Scott Harshbarger about the barriers as well as the advantages that go along with making the jump from AG to running for governor. But first, let's grab more on today's news from WBUR senior statehouse reporter Steve Brown. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Tiziana.
So Maura Healey hits the campaign trail this morning in East Boston. Steve, here's a bit of sound from the press conference.
Sorry, Steve. I'm just really excited to be here, be out in a community like East Boston. It's about meeting the people where they are. I've always been driven by the people and engagement with people and a variety of people. It's the way I ran the AG's office, and it's the way I'm going to run things as governor. So great to be here today, and I look forward to campaigning hard all across this great Commonwealth.
So you were there. You're the one that grabbed that sound. How was she received, and what did she have to say?
Yeah, a handful of supporters showed up in Maverick Square to greet her. It was cold and rainy, so it wasn't ideal for schmoozing with potential voters. She stood behind microphones and delivered her stump speech and fielded some questions from reporters. She said a top priority for her as governor would be improving the state's economy for everyone.
So many people are experiencing high cost of living, whether it's in health care or housing, even transit, gasoline, you name it right now. And that's something that we've got to deal with as a state. I recognize there's monetary policy that the federal government is going to control, but there are actually levers and things that we can do as a state to better address that situation. But job one will be making sure this economy is back on track.
So a clear message there, Steve. Give us a quick crash course on her. She's been Massachusetts AG since 2015. Where was she before then, and how did she get to where she is now?
Sure. Before being AG, she worked in the Attorney General's office under her predecessor, Martha Coakley. Healey headed up the office's Civil Rights Division. Now, she's considered the architect of the state's successful challenge to the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. That was the federal law that prohibited same-sex marriage. Healey was a lawyer, not really a politician, but when Coakley ran for governor in 2014, Healey went for the AG's position, surprising a lot of people by defeating a seasoned Paul, former state Senator Warren Tolman, in the Democratic primary. Now, some more biographical background. She's going to be 51 years old in a couple of weeks. She grew up on the New Hampshire seacoast, but she touts family ties to the North Shore and Newburyport. She played some professional basketball in Europe, and she graduated from Harvard and then Northeastern Law School.
So catch us up, Steve, on the pool of candidates now. It's shaped up to be a pretty diverse slate on the Democratic side. First, how does it compare to past groups? And how do you think this diversity will play out in the primary?
Yeah, I've been following Massachusetts politics for quite a while, and you're right. This is a diverse slate. It's the first time all Democratic candidates are women. Harvard professor Danielle Allen is African-American. Senator Sonia Chang-Diaz identifies as a Latina and Asian. Of course, Healey is white, but she also identifies as lesbian, and if elected, she'd be the first openly gay governor in Massachusetts history. Now, we have seen some diverse fields for governor in the past. Of course, back in 2006 and 2010, Deval Patrick topped the field, becoming the state's first black governor. He beat a female lieutenant governor in the 2006 final. There are some voters out there who will choose based on identity politics, but you can go a lot deeper than that with this field. All three candidates, Healey, Allen, and Chang-Diaz, are deep when it comes to discussing issues. A lot depends on how each candidate will articulate their positions.
She's been considered kind of the juggernaut, Steve. So is this it for Democratic candidates? And what does it mean for Marty Walsh, who, you know, reports where he was thinking about it?
Yeah, I don't have any extra insight into the former mayor's thinking. Anything is possible, I suppose, but this field is now starting to gel. Conventional wisdom has said for years that Healey was very likely to get into this race, and with Charlie Baker's decision not to run, that cemented that. Marty Walsh's name surfaced over the last month or so when Healey didn't immediately jump into the race. Word was that Walsh would be in if Healey was out.
All right. And very briefly, Steve, what is it about the AG role trying to jump to governor in Massachusetts?
Yeah, the curse of the AG. Many have tried. None have succeeded. Quick rundown. Frank Bellotti, 1990. Your next guest, Scott Harshbarger, 1998. Tom Riley, 2006. And Martha Coakley, 2014. My hunch is AGs are seen as law and order types. And given the position, they should be, given the nature of the job. Perhaps, though, voters want to feel a little more warm and fuzzy about who they elect as governor. That's not the case in all states. New York comes to mind with Elliot Spitzer and Andrew Cuomo. Both of them left the office in disgrace, by the way. But again, voters want their governors to be, you know, warm and cuddly. And I think maybe they might see the AGs are the law and order types and not suited for that.
All right, so I am going to get lots of chuckles over the warm and cuddly governor in the weeks to come as we watch this race. That's fantastic. All right, that's WBUR Steve Brown. Always great to have you. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Tiziana.
So we turn now to Scott Harshbarger. As Steve said, he was the Massachusetts Attorney General from 1991 to 1999. He was also the Democratic nominee for governor in 1998. He lost a close race to then acting governor and Republican Paul Cellucci. Scott Harshbarger, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hello, Tiziana. It's very nice to be on, and it's nice to be. I always thought of myself as sort of warm and cuddly. It just didn't quite come across that way. And as Steve's astute observation is that far too often people really see the attorney general on press conferences as being, in my case, harsh, prosecuting someone, being tough, making it clear that, you know, we're taking the law and the facts and we're going to be very, very aggressive. And people may want that very much in their attorney general, particularly attorney general like Mara has been very, very good. And many of us thought we were very good as attorney general. But the fact is that when you're looking for governor, you are looking for something broader, something more human, if you will. Or, I mean, warm and cuddly is not a bad idea. You have to listen to this person for several years, and you're not always sure you want somebody up there who, if his attorney general maybe was lecturing you, or Tiziana, as my son once told me, you know, people, I was against everything that people liked to do, whether it was smoking, drinking, gambling, or whatever. So that's to be a little facetious, but I think that's a little bit the edge. But the key thing is who you're running against. Let's remember the Kevin White line: the choice isn't between me and God, the choice is between me and my opponent. And that makes a huge difference. I think it's really made a huge difference over the last 20 years as well.
So let's stay there for a second, Scott. You know, no incumbent governor in this race. And we've talked a lot about the Massachusetts State GOP here on Radio Boston over the last several months. The party's in a bit of disarray. The current declared Republican candidate who has Donald Trump's endorsement, A, Jeff Deal has Donald Trump's endorsement, B, has not won statewide office. So is this a race where the attorney general has a shot because of the opponents? Now, let me be very clear. Strong candidates on the Democratic side, and there's a primary first.
No, I think that's very true. If you get the person that wins the nomination, given this field, for example, that's there now, whether they're viewed as formidable or not yet, will be very likely the next governor. And that's my assessment, because I think that in this Massachusetts today, while people often like to vote for a moderate Republican to be a check and balance against the Democratic legislature, a one-party system effectively, they also look to somebody that they believe is credible and competent as a leader, as an executive. And if that person is credible, they're a very formidable candidate. But in this case, if you're going to run in Massachusetts for governor and your endorsement is by Donald Trump, you're almost beginning. I think that's as close to a death knell as you're going to get for that. So that means the Democratic candidate becomes very formidable as the likely candidate, likely next governor. Now, in this field, then, that gives the attorney general, who is already an established record, is an exceptionally formidable candidate because of her record, And if she can do what she appears to be doing now in her press announcements, demonstrating that she very much concerned about people, about real issues, about making government work, making a government work for people, and not only focusing on sort of the hard attorney general challenges and issues, that's a very formidable candidate in this field, I think, today.
So, Scott, I have my headphones on. The only person I can hear is you. And yet I still feel like I collectively hear women out there saying, Charlie Baker is not warm and cuddly. Why do we need a governor to be warm and cuddly? And isn't that tricky when we have so many women in the race this time? So let's talk about the pivots, both the benefits of the AG experience in serving as governor and the pivots we need to make in this race for a conversation about, you know, hardcore qualifications for the governor's office.
Well, I think, first of all, when warm and cuddly, I think we're both being a little bit facetious.
Oh, we are. And Steve was too.
But Charlie Baker, in his second campaign, Tiziana, notice the difference. When he was running against Deval Patrick, he was angry, charging, attacking. And that's partly, maybe that's how he felt. But by the second time round, you got a lot more of the person Charlie Baker was, much more of sort of, here's who I am as a human being. Here's who I am as a person. That's clearly, to me, when I look at this, people want an executive. They want somebody who cares about governing, but they also want somebody who they believe they can relate to as a person. And this is where I think, knowing Mara Healey, she's going to be very effective if she can continue not just to run on her record, which is formidable, but also to try to demonstrate why this record matters to people every day, why she is somebody they can relate to and not just see as their prosecutor, if you will, their attorney. This is somebody that they would like to have as a client, somebody that they're going to be willing to listen to and believe can handle a complicated issues that affect them and is going to be about them. That's the transition that I think has to occur here for Mara Healey. No matter what the field is, because that's how people will judge her eventually. They want to vote for somebody they think they know, that they like, that they feel comfortable with, as well as being highly qualified and competent.
So in our last minute or so, Scott, for all the candidates in the race, the biggest lesson you learned from your campaign for governor that you would share?
Well, first of all, if you're a Democrat, you prosecute other Democrats, you have a problem. Makes it hard. The second piece is the Democratic Party, if you unite, is going to make you a successful candidate. You're going to win. The Democratic Party splintering often becomes the reason a Republican wins this race. But the third one is people need to know you. You may think they know you from your academic credentials, from your public office, but people don't know you. They haven't been focusing on you. They've been focusing on COVID. They've been focusing on Trump. They've been focusing on national issues. They're focusing on how they get by with childcare and remote learning and all those things. You have to break into that cycle so they know you and know you care about those things. And I think that is a challenge, but it is absolutely doable in a race. And it's a must do in a race. Otherwise, you'll be very lucky to win.
All right, Scott Harshbarger, former Massachusetts Attorney General and Democratic nominee for governor. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate your thoughts and advice today.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's wonderful to hear you. I'm very pleased with how you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Great to have you on the show.
Right.